The Small Business Administration is proposing a new role that it says will help small companies get government contracts. Among the changes, two or more small firms could bid as a joint venture while not losing their small business status. To discuss that and more, we're joined by John Sharaka. He's the SBA's Associate Administrator of Government Contracting and Business Development. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Emily. Thanks for having me on.
So first of all, let's start at the beginning. Why propose this rule?
So the National Defense Authorization Act of 13 actually gave us authorization to amend our rules to allow small businesses to pursue larger and more complex projects. As we know, projects in the federal procurement arena have become larger, more complex, and it's become more and more difficult for individual small businesses to pursue these types of projects.
And, you know, I was going to ask you to define the problem you're hoping to solve. You've just done this, but I'm wondering if you could put any numbers to what you're saying. Are small companies actually vying for these big, complex projects?
So there are. I don't have the exact statistics in front of me, but, you know, in the mind of a procuring officer, oftentimes, unfortunately, it seems that the focus is always on the small dollar contracts when it comes to small businesses participating in the procurement arena. But we know that small businesses play a major role even at the 7, 10, 15, or $20 million playing field. However, it has become more and more difficult as the projects grow for small businesses to continue to participate.
So how have you addressed these issues in this rule?
So it allows really small businesses to team up together to pursue projects and not count against limitations on subcontracting. I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but generally, if a contract is set aside for small businesses, the business that wins has to do 51% of the project. Unfortunately, like I said, sometimes the small business can't do all of that 51%, right? And so it then prohibits the small business from participating. What this allows is that if your subcontractors are similarly situated, in other words, if they're also a small business, together you can count against that 51%.
And I understand that the SBA came to these conclusions after conducting a small business teaming pilot.
Yeah, we had a teaming pilot authorized under the Small Business Jobs Act, which created an opportunity for us to give some grants out across the country to identify what some of the best practices were when it came to teaming with small businesses and what some of the hurdles were when it came to teaming with small businesses.
What did you learn?
That's exactly what we learned is that as the projects get larger, it's difficult for individual small businesses to pursue them. And one of our rules, which was the limitations on subcontracting, sort of prevented them from participating in the larger projects.
And when permitted to do these sorts of joint ventures, did you find that small businesses formed these groups easily? It was something that came naturally and then was easy. Would be easier for them to qualify for some of these bigger contracts?
That's a great question. And obviously, that's the next step, right? So we want to allow the regulatory infrastructure regulatory infrastructure to allow this type of teaming, right? But then the next step becomes, how do we bring the firms together? We have an initiative called the American Supplier Initiative, which is really a teaming opportunity for the supply chain. It's focused both on the public sector as well as the private sector. But that's a very good question. As you set the infrastructure, you set the rules and regulations to be able to team and joint venture, you have to create an environment and mechanisms and tools and matchmaking to bring all the small businesses together to find opportunities and pursue.
Did your pilot show any sort of best practices for doing that?
Yeah, there are some systems, online systems that were a part of that pilot that have evolved over time that create an opportunity for small businesses to find each other and team with each other. There are many vendors that provide those types of systems. We've also looked at The SBA itself has a database of small businesses that do business with the federal government, a dynamic small business search. We've also looked at learning from the pilot how to improve that, not only to create teaming opportunities, but also to create a more robust interaction with contracting officers to be able to identify the right business to do business with.
We're speaking with John Sharanka. He's the Associate Administrator for Government Contracting and Business Development at the Small Business Administration. There's a lot more to this proposed rule, and I wonder, could you give us a few of the other highlights, particularly as it pertains to what makes a small business in the first place, how that's calculated?
Yeah, one of the things that actually the rule addresses is calculating not necessarily the size of the small business. Those are done obviously through the North American Industry Classification Codes, the NAICS codes, and we have an office that deals with establishing size standards for each of the NAICS codes. But one of the things that is addressed in this rule is how we calculate the limitations on subcontracting. In other words, how do we calculate that the prime small business contractor is actually doing 51% of the work? Historically, when we came to that calculation, there were different methods in our different programs. In other words, we have a hub zone program or a women-owned small business program or a service-disabled veteran-owned small business program. And historically, those had not all been calculated the same way, and it was creating a lot of confusion. As we rolled this rule out to allow teaming, to allow joint venturing, we also wanted to make sure that we were consistent as well as easily understood and easily implementable. And again, this is a proposed rule, so we really encourage our stakeholders, our small businesses, to engage and comment back to us with respect to how this is going to be implemented in the future. That's really helpful for us to make sure that the final rule comes out in a way that works for everybody.
And with this rule, are you taking the guidelines from any one of those programs and using them for the rest of the programs? How did you come up with this proposal?
It really was part of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2013 with respect to how to calculate it. Oftentimes it had been calculated on level of effort of services as opposed to value and versus construction projects versus service projects. And so this was really to bring a consistency to it, but it was really guided by the actual statute. But again, I really recommend and highly advise small businesses that are affected by these rules to make sure that they comment on them so that we make sure we get it right.
And have you looked at the impact of these proposed rules if they were to be finalized as they are now? What sectors could see a boost? What agencies also might see some changes?
I think obviously the Department of Defense does over 75% of federal procurement, right? And so working with our interagency groups is how we came up with this proposed rule. Anytime we have a rule that goes out, we work through the interagency clearance process and make sure all of our sister agencies are on board and feel that it'll have a significant impact on their ability to engage small businesses. Obviously, I think, again, as far as impact, when we look at the Department of Defense, I think it'll have a significant impact in their ability to engage small businesses. When we look at the other large procurers in federal government, NASA, the VA, Veterans Administration, all of these, I think, will have a significant benefit or will experience a significant benefit in being able to reach out to small businesses and have them engage in their procurement cycle.
And what's your time frame for when you imagine this rule is going to be finalized?
Yeah, so it'll be out for roughly 90 days for public comment. Once we receive all the public comments, we'll probably take a couple of months to incorporate those and finalize those. It will then have to go out through a final interagency clearance process. I'm targeting October of this year if everything stays on track.
John Chiracco is the Associate Administrator for Government Contracting and Business Development at the SBA. John, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.